I'd like to you turn with your Bibles with me over into the book of Joshua, first chapter. Before we get there, I want to borrow a songbook here real quick. Brother Doug had us sing a song, 228, I believe, and that caught me a little bit off guard, brought back a lot of thoughts about his father. And I know you family that are here, he means so much to you. He meant a lot to me too. I know it's on a different level, but when this song started pointing toward a heavenly home, and this song's so full of hope, and I thought of that, how interested I am in making that heavenly home. I must go there. I must attain it. About this house not made with hands, we've got one here that's deteriorating as we go, and there is one that the Lord points us to and calls us toward that's beyond here. Today, when we look at where we are as people, I know we're pretty tied to this world. We must needs. I know there's things we've got to occupy here, but there's a day coming. And I have to say that at points in our life, that heavenly home looks a little sweeter. Perhaps this morning that heavenly home looks a little sweeter to some of you who have recently lost your loved one, and you're looking over there and saying, Lord, I just want to go there. I don't blame you a bit if you feel that way, because I feel that way too. Had some loved ones that's over there, and I'm looking forward to that. Oh, we have a joyful meeting here also, but there's one over there that I want to go to. Maybe we can look in here to this first part of the book of Joshua. There's some verbiage here that is pretty stark in my mind. It's a little bit difficult sometimes if we feel that we've lost a loved one and we have those memories. And the Lord is great and compassionate toward us when we feel those losses. Look back here and see Sister Bennett right now, and it's keen in her mind, the loss of her daughter, her loved ones. And I'm sure she's not the only one here, but we're all people, and it seems like we have those times recently that so many have lost loved ones, and we start looking at that other shore. It just means more to us today than what it did not very long ago. That house not made with hands. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And though we enjoy his presence here, it's not going to be quite like that presence that we're going to feel over there. And I'm so looking forward to being there. The beginning of this chapter, let's start reading. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. It's wonderful to be known as a servant of the Lord, isn't it? The servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He had been one of those that had been right there with Moses, walked with him, been there, held up his hands, been right there when he struggled. Moses was there. Joshua was there. And Joshua was there when they spied out the land. Joshua and Caleb went over there and they saw the land of Canaan, the place that God wanted to take them to. God had purpose and a place that he wanted to take the children of Israel to. And I will submit to you and I today that God has a place in our future that He wants to take us to. Though for a moment we may grieve and feel kind of stymied in where we are, but I want to tell you, God still has future and has hope. And I know there's going to be times maybe you don't hardly feel that, but the Lord still has purpose. And the Joshua and Caleb had went over there into the land of Canaan, and they had seen the good land. And I know there was a bunch of grapes that men had to carry between on a staff. It sounded like it was indeed a land flowing with milk and honey. Perhaps it was Joshua and Caleb, I don't know. But perhaps it was Joshua and Caleb said, let's gather this up as evidence. I could just see them toting that big, here's the reason why we need to go. And many others said, yes, indeed, that's where it came from, but we're small and we can't. Joshua was there. He saw that. And I believe his heart hurt when he saw his brethren cringe in fear at not attaining the future that I think he knew that God wanted them to have. And he began to, I believe, that hurt Joshua and Caleb. Well, Joshua was this man. He was a minister. He was right there and a helper of Moses. And I want to stop here at the term minister. Did you know, minister doesn't necessarily mean that we're dominant authority. I don't know how else to say that. I understand minister is a servant. And that's what Joshua was to Moses. Moses, my servant, this is again striking language and not meant to be hurtful. It's meant to be factual. This is where it was. This is where they found themselves. Joshua, or Moses, my servant, is dead. It's where we find ourselves sometimes. Sometimes those that we counted on in the past, those who we've always leaned on, they sometime have passed off the scene. So where does that leave us? You know, sometimes there's a sword for us to pick up. God's not done with this. God has a future. I know Sister Bennett she came there from Roatan, island of Roatan in Honduras, little town of Politili. There's a congregation down there. And I know many people, even here today, have burden for that work to grow. And that's where her homeland is. And because her daughter has passed away, that doesn't mean the Lord still has purpose. He has desire for prosperity, spiritual prosperity. But beyond that, He also wants people, it works to expand down here in Politili as well as here. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Sometimes that's difficult for us to reconcile with, especially when we're going through the reality of sometimes our losses. But the Lord, gently and in proper timing, He points us forward. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, this obstacle, this thing that looks too big for you right now. I want you to raise your eyes and look over there, because that's a land I want to give you. It still is your land. Maybe today you're not going to walk over it today. In fact, He wasn't telling them to do it at this moment. But He said, I want you to realize there's a process I'm going to take you over. I want you to rise, get out of this place, and recognize this is not your eternal home. There's a house not made with hands. There's a future. There's a place. And even right here on this, in this side of eternity, there's hope and there's places the Lord wants to take us in our spiritual walk. And also, as collectively, the Lord has a place to take us forward. So it's not a day of discouragement. I like it when Brother Doug said, let's sing this song with joy. And I believe this morning, if Brother Jim was here, that was able to somehow speak back to you and I, those that we have lost, that we feel like so dear, they were able to speak to us today, they say, come on, my dear children. Come on. It's everything I said it was and more. Be faithful, my dear children, until death. This crown of life is worth it. So the Lord says to us, even in our grief, he says, arise. Oh, there's places of grieving. God's not wanting us to ignore our grief. That's not what he's asking at all. But he still holds before us this beacon of hope, this beacon of purpose, that he will gently and lovingly lead us. Arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That's who they were. That was their identity. The Lord had purpose and place for them to take them. Every place, listen to this, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I gave this promise to Moses. He heard what I had to say. The promise was given. He knew it. And though he didn't, there's certain things he didn't realize completely, but I'm telling you that as you move forward under my direction and my leadership, I want you to know, Joshua, I want you to know that the land that you're contemplating, that you see over there, that you spied out before, my purpose is to take these children over into that land. I want them to enjoy the land that's before them. This is talking about a literal land here. I want to tell you today, I believe there's a spiritual land. I think this has spiritual application to you and I today. There's a land, a spiritual land of the Lord. And I don't know where we all are today. I know this many times in our odyssey, in our progression of life, we start on this road serving the Lord. And we aren't born again full. We're not full grown when we're born again. We're babes in Christ. And as we go down that road and growing in the Lord, the Lord leads us step by step, and he begins to show us, arise. There's a land ahead of you. There's places that may have haunted you in your spiritual walk in the past. Mountains that seemed too great for you to attain. Difficulties that was beyond your grasp. You felt like you would be a slave to that for the rest of your life. That's not the way the Lord sees those obstacles before you. The Lord wants us to look at that land beyond where we are today. And he calls us to greater heights and greater depths of victory in the Lord. We don't have to be a slave to our own old passions that we used to have. This is one of the great messages that the Lord has before us. He holds before us the land. And yes, many times it is indeed, and it can be intimidating, because many times it's full of fleshly desires, things out there that we struggle with. But the Lord leads, he says, that mountain. You know, here's where I love what Caleb said when they got over into the land of Canaan. You remember, after they'd won some victories there, Caleb said, came to Joshua and said, now, you remember, I was promised this mountain over here. I said when I came back, what was the mountain that he was promised? The mountain where the giants lived, wasn't it? The Anakims? That's where, that place where the giants, the greatest threat, those that would strike fear. Caleb said, let me have that one. That's my land. The Lord said, arise. Oh, let that be a spiritual application to you and I today. There's places sometimes that stand before us as gigantic obstacles in our mind. And the Lord says that land can be yours. I'm thinking here today, I know there's some that are sitting here today that have had addictions in their life in the past. And the Lord held before them a land. And the Lord has brought them to that land. There's people here today can stand up and say, I was one of those. And I can have a little bit of that testimony myself, a victory that the Lord gave me and brought me into this type of a land of victory where the past is way back there. I'm so grateful. Arise, you see. Arise. Don't fall under the sense that I'm stymied and I can't move from here. I know, and God has compassion on us, and the place is sometimes a grief that we're going through, and he'll say come apart and rest a little while, and that's okay, but we're resting in him. But there comes a time he says, arise. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of Lebanon, even unto the great river, that the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Look at the promise here. I know to them it was interpreted in their mind as all these carnal obstacles, these people that were there, these people who caused them, or could have, and caused their forefathers to see themselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. All these things stood before them as obstacles, and the Lord came and said, now, that's your land. Put your foot on it. Claim it. It's yours. And God wants one of them to feel that way and to know that. And today, we're not here trying to conquer lands around us physically. I'm not interested in trying to take up, but I'm interested in possessing greater spiritual ground. I'm interested in every one of us being able to say, I'm free, free, free. I am from sin set free. This world has now no charm. Thank you. This world has now no charms for me, for Christ hath set me free. And God wants us to be able to proclaim that with a deep-seated knowledge in our heart, that the Lord has done a work in my heart and I'm free. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Is it just in your youth? Just in your middle age? No, brother. The Lord was with Brother Jim clear down to the end. You know, I had an opportunity to visit him there not too long before he passed, and he was not able to respond. He was already in that state of comatose, and I was sharing with him, just telling how much he had meant to me, and sharing that song 101, my heavenly Father is caring for me, my bark he's guiding over life's raging sea. And as I was relating some of this to him, his hand was here and it began to open. Comatose. But he opened. And I put my hand inside his hand. And he squeezed like a man's handshake came down. Brother Michael was there. I don't know what all he was saying with that. But I believe the Lord was with him all the days of his life. And I believe he was knowing that the Lord was still guiding his bark or life's raging sea. That gives me great courage today to know that the God of our forefathers, though that same God that didn't leave Brother Jim at the end of it, is still the one that wants to take you and I with victory. Arise and go forward. Arise, there's victory. Arise, there's a land ahead. every place that the sole of your feet shall tread. That have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. Fifth verse now, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I will, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Oh, sometimes we just need to have that, don't we? Be strong and of a good courage. Who is saying this? Is it just, are we just trying to bolster ourselves among ourselves? No, this was God saying this. This was God that stopped by and told them personally, arise, be strong, I'll be with you. Like my promise is to you, just as it was to my servant Moses. And he's gone, I understand that. And you feel kind of alone right now, but I'm not. I haven't left you. I'm here. Arise, go forward. There's a land that I really want my children to have. There's a place, there's wells that need to be dug. There's living, there's places I want to take you to that you can call your home. Right now it's somebody else's home, but there's a place. Maybe the devil owns this area of your life, but God wants you to own it. God wants you to live there. He wants you to build houses on his old territory. Say, this is mine today, I'm no longer a slave. I come out of this because the Lord said it's my land. And this isn't a carnal gloating. This is a joyful victory that the Lord has given us in our spirit, that sin no longer has dominion over us. Thank the Lord for that. Be strong and of a good courage, as God says this. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance. Oh, yesterday when I was thinking about Brother Jim, I'm sorry, I don't want to make the whole message this morning about Brother Jim, but it's hard not to see some correlation here. Brother Jim was faithful. And he, since his faithful constancy of life, what he always did, his family is blessed. And not only there's a heritage, you see. There's an inheritance that comes along. There's something that we can leave behind. And God help us, each one here today, to look to a land that we go and claim. Maybe, I know there's sometimes that families can go get in a place that almost it's generational destruction. Now, God wants to turn that around today. Turn that around to generational heritage that we can pass on. Daddy got victory in his life. That was no longer thing that held him. Alcoholism or whatever kind of addiction, there's many. Generationally, we want our children to have a heritage. Mom and Dad found the Lord. And they stayed faithful unto the end. And we leave behind a heritage, you see. This is what the Lord was pointing. There was a heritage that the Lord wanted these children of Israel to have. And I know that was a physical thing back there, but today it's not a physical thing, it's more of a spiritual thing. God wants us to leave behind something. Something that he has bequeathed, that he has made available to you and I. This land that he said, I want you to see it, I want you to look across this river, across this obstacle, across the land where the giants live, that mountain. They own the high ground. That's not a very good strategic way to approach in battle, is to come from the low ground. The high ground is a good place to be. That's a defensible place. Caleb said, let me have that land. Oh, the Lord's looking for some men today that's willing to say, I realize there seems to be mountains before me and giants that lives on that mountain, but Lord, I want to gain the victory. I want to be one of those that's faithful unto the end. I want to leave behind a heritage for my children. I want them to see you, Lord. Not that they want, not that you're trying to cause somebody to see me or lift up any kind of person. We do lift up Brother Jim only in what God himself did for Brother Jim and through Brother Jim. But we're thankful for his willingness to submit his ways to the Lord. And so he's left behind a heritage. But God doesn't want us to point to ourselves at all, but we're pointing to Christ. And that's what he's done in our lives. God's looking for men like that today. Be strong and of a good courage, For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Very courageous. He put an exclamation mark on that courageousness. God wants us to not be ruled by fear. There's so many things that the devil would like to stand up and try to hinder our spiritual growth and our spiritual place of a rightful heritage. The devil would like to hinder us from gaining that. And fear is one of the tactics that he tries to use to get us that. Well, I can't. God help us not to draw back as they did. God was angry with that. He was displeased. In our day, let us say, yes, Lord. And it's okay to admit, I don't know how to get there right now. But I want to follow you because I want that land. I want it, Lord. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Notice this. Notice what God is saying. Everything I'm telling you to do, all the instruction, how you handle your life. God had instruction on how they should live their life. Any time we come to a place where people would say, well, God just wants to save, and God does want to save people, but he also wants to teach us how to live. God wants to teach us how to live daily. And it is a godly life. God wants us to turn from that old sinful way. God carries it. And the reason why he wants that turn, he wants that to be repented from. Repented, part of that just simply means turning from. And along with that repentance, sometimes we recognize how hard it's been on me and we're sorry. And it's natural for us to mourn what the bad decisions. But God says, turn from it. Come to me. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though those things stand starkly, they stand out as crimson. They a stain on your life. But he said, come, let's reason. Though your sin, they shall be as white as wool. Thank the Lord for that, for the great forgiveness that he gives. Turn not from it. This law, the commandments of the Lord. The Lord invites us. Didn't finish that thought. The reason why the Lord would have us turn from those things out there that have been so damaging to us is because they stand as very hurtful things to him. God's law calls us away from these sinful things because they are hurtful and damaging to us individually, to our families, to our home, to the whole thing. It's a reason why God calls it sin. It's hurtful. So God calls us from that. So he says, pay attention to what I say. Listen to me. My servants and observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to do. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay right there, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. See how the Lord wants us? He wants us to immerse our mind, our activity. He wants us to immerse ourselves and love his law. And it's not because he's a tyrant trying to just force us to go his way. He wants to protect us. That's a reason for this. He's a loving God. He would shield us from danger and heartache. I know, I don't know all of you, but I know there's enough of us in here to know that while we were out there on the devil's territory, it's left behind some horrible memories. And God would like to keep us from having those memories. He would like to guide us around those things. Oh, dear young people, I'll encourage you today. Arise. Look at the land before you. God calls you to a good land, a land of stability in your life, a land of hope, where your goings can be blessed. Don't turn to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This is what the Lord wants for you. The Lord wants you to be able to live in a good land where you feel the Lord's guiding hand in your life, and you feel that security. And there's so much of the pain of life that we miss when we're following the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thank the Lord. Have not I commanded thee? Seems like the Lord here turned back to Joshua and said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, food, get ready. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. Now, I'm grateful that the Lord gave him a deadline, told him when you're going to do it. You know, sometimes, at least I can relate to it, because if I can always put it off somewhere in the future, surely, you know, just let it flow out there somewhere in the future. The Lord said 3 days. It's time. You ever had the Lord tell that to you? It's time. Now is it. It's time. The Lord told them through Joshua, go through the land and tell people, get ready. Get prepared. Get traveling food ready. Traveling food. You know what that meant to them? We're not staying here any longer. Arise, you see. This isn't where we are today, isn't where the Lord wants us tomorrow. The Lord wants to take you forward from where you are. There's a growth, there's a spiritual land that the Lord will help us to grow into daily. And I'm not talking about just, well, tomorrow I'm gonna move forward and then I'm gonna settle down and build houses. No, the Lord has land beyond tomorrow and beyond the next day. And he's not a driving God. He's an encouraging shepherd that goes before us, that leads the dear sheep and reveals to us, this is your land. And sometimes we may feel like some of them did back there and be a little fearful about what's before us. But the Lord gently calls us, it's your land. Put your foot on it. Claim it. Arise, you see. I just love that statement. Arise. Go forward. Tell the children of Israel to get up. You've been around this mountain long enough. Remember that story. Tell them to go forward. Lord, help us to do that. Kind of prepare traveling food. Get ready. You're going to be traveling. Twelfth verse, perhaps. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe, Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, these were those who had received inheritance on the other side of Jordan. Part of their job to go and help their brothers when they fought on the other side. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, go over there armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. You go help your brethren. I like this, how the Lord encourages us as a people to help one another. Go out with what the Lord has given you, the arm, the victories that the Lord... Wednesday night prayer meeting is a good time to come and take out your sword and say, "Brethren, this is how the Lord's helped me this week. This is how..." And maybe I was reading this scripture and I was a little down and needing something, and I opened up the Bible and the Lord really impressed this, and the Lord encouraged me and inspired me. This is how I got some victory. You know what you're doing when you're saying that? You're helping your brother. You're going out to battle with him. We're sharing. We need each other in this way. So he told the children, those tribes that had inheritance on the other side of Jordan, told them, "You go out there, you men of valor, mighty men of valor, and help your brothers until the Lord has given your brethren rest, given them their land to possess it." 16th verse. "And they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that thou commandest us, we'll do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we'll go. According as we hearken unto Moses, in all things we will hearken unto thee, unto the Lord, only the Lord.'" Oh, this is so necessary, so very necessary. These people were used to seeing the Lord work through Moses. They were used to seeing that, and they had some confidence. They didn't quite have that same level with Joshua yet. They said, "We'll do it, Joshua. We believe. But Joshua, we've got to see the Lord." Isn't it? It's okay to feel that way. Oh, we got only. "We'll do it. I'm right there with you, Joshua. But Joshua, I got to see the Lord leading in this." And they did. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm grateful for that kind of attitude that these brethren had. "We'll be right there with you. Only." How was it they said it? "All thou commandest, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we'll go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death." That's a pretty strong vow they took there, wasn't it? "Only be strong and of a good courage." Well, I say to us all, the Lord has a plan for each one of us, has a future for each one of us. He has a land to lead you in. I'm not able to discern today where you are spiritually, but I can tell you with confidence that the Lord wants to lead you forward from where you are. Because he's never done with this. He wasn't done with Brother Jim. What was it Brother Doug shared with us yesterday? One of the last prayers I think he heard his daddy pray. "Lord, help me." Real, real short one. "To do your will." Was that the way it was? "Help me, Lord, to do your will. I don't want to struggle against you, Lord. I want to submit to you right down to the end." Oh, the Lord has a land for every one of us to go, land to gain. Your wives, your little children, there are people that are looking on to you and I today, where we are. We have young ones looking on. God needs pillars. There have been some pillars that have went on to their reward. And I can't tell you, I would have loved to have kept every pillar here. But let me tell you, God's still making pillars. And I want to ask you to put your name in there. My son asked me here a while back, we was talking about Brother Jim and how he'd been a faithful, how he'd been a patriarch of his family. And how he had left behind a heritage, how he had given his family something to live for, a purpose, a place to go. How he had shared so meaningful, just a faith in God. What was he told one of his grandchildren, he said, it works. You're wondering about which direction to take? Son, it works. It just works. That's true. He had found it, so he left that behind for his family. And my son asked about, how does a man become a pillar? And I thought about that. Faithfulness. Be faithful. And he never set out to be recognized as a pillar. He set out to serve the Lord and be faithful. And let me compare it a little bit like this in our mind. You know, when we come to the Lord, we come, again, not full grown. We come very incomplete. We come very immature. Maybe I should say it that way. We bring ourselves to the Lord, and maybe you're more pliable than I am, but I felt like I brought to the Lord a piece of granite, hard-headed person. And he took that. And the more I yield it to him, sometimes we do this. We bring ourselves to, and we should, yield it to the Lord. All of ourselves to the Lord. We yield that to him. And what does he do? He takes that many times unpleasant looking, misshapen granite, and he begins to shape it. And in time, that person, without even knowing it, becomes a pillar. Becomes a pillar. And they're not standing there and saying, look at me. You can count on. That's not. Those will never be a pillar. Those still need some more rough places knocked off, and that's the way you feel. But oh, those who love the Lord with all their heart, and the Lord's able to knock off the rough edges. And one of the writers later on in the gospel talked about us, and he said, you're lively stones. Isn't that what Peter talked about? It? Lively stones. One of the writers. We're fitly framed together. I don't know of any, when you observe masons that create buildings, I went through some of a small town, Oklahoma. Got a lot of sandstone in Oklahoma. I was going through a small town one time and I saw a looked like a 2.5-story sandstone structure that was built in the mid-1800s. And it had large stones that had marks on those stones where a mason had shaped it to fit right where it belonged. And layer after layer after layer, and I don't know how those men carried some of these hundreds of pounds of stones up as high as what they did. And they built this beautiful arch, and at the top of that arch was a keystone. And they made that stone and fit it, fitly framed together. Oh, I want to tell you, everyone here today, the Lord's working to fit you right in the body where he wants you. You're important to the building. Your life. And so I encourage us to give ourselves our granite stone. We might be hard-headed. That's okay. As long as you yield it to the Lord. Okay? I think granite might be able to hold up more weight than others. But only by the grace of God, because the master sculptor wants your life. The master sculptor wants to take you where you are today, where you are now, just as we are. The Lord wants to take us where we are and begins to mold and shape our lives to a place that others may eventually be able to find shelter under what God has created in you. That we can leave behind a heritage, an inheritance, that others can look and say, I want to be like that. As an encouragement, you see, there's a factor that people can look on, and when they look at us, they don't see us anymore. But they see the marks of the master mason that shaped us to fit right where God wants us to be. I want you to perceive a land that that's your land. For God has taken you and fit you in to that place. For the places that now hinder you today begin to drop off. The Lord is working. I'm preaching this morning in the context of holiness in the Lord. I'm not talking about failure at all, but I'm talking about growth in the Lord. And I want to encourage us. There's a land. Yes, Moses, my servant, is dead. But you're not. You're alive. Get up. There's a land that they go to. There's a land that God has for us here. But oh, if we're faithful unto the end, there's a land over there. There's a house not built with hands. And I thank the Lord. It's reserved for you and I who are faithful unto the Lord. Pray for me. I want to serve Him. I want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord this morning to give your all. Be willing to yield because the Lord has a good land. It indeed flows with milk and honey. There's purpose and hope. Pray for me. I want to be faithful.